Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the dollarcollapse.com website. And John, we've talked a lot about the coronavirus and the market implications, but one thing that keeps popping up in articles and commentary is the fact that we can almost guarantee that we're going to see some sort of a recession in the US, in Canada, really around the world. But we just don't know how long this recession is going to last. If this virus somehow just disappears, or for the most part evaporates into thin air in a matter of a couple days or a couple weeks, then we could see businesses get right back to work and people get back out spending. But the other thing to consider too is just how much money people have lost and businesses will lose during the shutdowns that are happening pretty much across the world and now creeping into North America. What's your thought on, first and foremost, the recession that no doubt is upon us right now, but just how long it could last?
Hey, Corey. Well, yeah, I think a recession is a guarantee. They'll probably date it from sometime in the past when they go back and figure it out. But yeah, everybody's locked in their houses. Nobody's going anywhere or doing anything. So you can guarantee that the cruise industry and the restaurant industry and the airlines are in a depression, which is to say, you know, a lot of them are going to close. And how long this lasts depends a lot, like you said, on the virus, what it does. And we don't know that. You know, we had no idea it was coming. We don't know why it's doing what it's doing today. We have no idea what it'll do 3 months from now. So eventually we're going to have a vaccine, and that will relegate this thing to a major irritant and a chronic problem rather than some existentially threatening thing that's happening right now. So, you know, we got that to look forward to, but it could be that we never go back to feeling as free as we felt in the past. You know, we really set up a world that in a lot of ways had to be pretty close to perfect to function, because we had these global supply chains and just-in-time inventory systems and gigantic cities you know, air travel that was as free and as frequent as it's ever been in history. All of that stuff depends on no major wars, no major diseases, relatively benign geopolitics in general, and you know, those aren't things that are consistently normal for the human race. You know, we usually have bad things happen, and the fact that we went a long time without them led a lot of people to be complacent, and I think this is a wake-up call. So we're going to see people's attitudes change no matter how this is resolved. Even if it's resolved shortly, our attitudes are going to change dramatically. And I, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but it should probably be good in a lot of ways, because a lot of what we were doing was dysfunctional, you know? So the recession that we're guaranteed to have this year it's hard to say how long it'll be, but besides the virus, another big determinant is what central banks do from here on out. Because there's a headline in the New York Times today about how the Fed has already used up all its 2007, 2008 tools in one weekend. You know, we went to a big time QE, we cut interest rates to zero, and that's largely what we did last time around. And it's clearly not enough. So the central banks are going to have to ratchet up their responses. You know, they're really going to have to double down. And the next thing is probably buying equities. I'm not sure how it'll work in Canada, but in the U.S., I think the Fed has wanted to buy equities for a long time. So they're going to emulate Japan now, which, by the way, just doubled its equity buying program this weekend. And so we'll see the Fed getting into the S&P 500 or whatever and just buying all those stocks, or buying ETFs, or something else that's related. But the goal will be to pump up financial asset prices, and via the wealth effect, in which people who feel smart and rich tend to spend more money, generate some growth that way. It probably won't be outside the house growth. You know, most people are probably just going to shop online and get what they need delivered. Which is, I suppose, great for Amazon. You know, it's possible Amazon at some point here goes from being a big loser to a big winner. Not sure how that'll play out exactly, but when it becomes obvious that nobody's shopping in stores anymore and everybody's living by shopping online, Amazon is the big beneficiary. But who knows? You know, it's such a crazy world right now. It's impossible to predict any of this with any kind of certainty. It's just something we need to protect ourselves.
That's the thing, right, John? It's impossible to predict. And again, if this coronavirus dissipates, then I have no doubt that people will go out and start spending money again. But you do bring up a good point that Amazon, there are a couple companies that could benefit from this essential lockdown that we're seeing. And hey, central banks, they are already almost pulling out all of the stops with the Fed cutting rates aggressively two times, even before their meeting coming up on Wednesday. Fact of the matter is, though, there is a lot of fear in the world right now, rightfully so. But John, when we turn the corner here and eventually get back to some sort of normal with this market pullback, and even if the market drops another 10, 20, 30, 40%, a lot of people were saying the market needed to do that for this general reset to get everybody almost back on a more manageable level in terms of PE ratios and these type of metrics. Do you see this as being almost in a way positive for markets? Obviously not in terms of the big pullback, but in a way that a correction was overdue, and now we're getting a correction that is very much focused on medical conditions, and if those turn, then money could come back into the markets?
Well, here's the tricky thing right now. We have two big problems, right? We have the pandemic, and we have a recession which is tending towards depression if it's not fixed. We could deal with either one of those things by just focusing all our attention on the solution to that problem. But these two problems have mutually exclusive solutions. In other words, if you want to fix the coronavirus, you just lock everybody in their houses, right? You just quarantine everything. Nobody goes anywhere. Nobody does anything. And eventually the virus dissipates and fades away. But to do that, like if it took 4 months to do that, then huge sections of the economy would be bankrupt by that time. So we would make the recession much, much worse by focusing strictly on the coronavirus. But if we are going to try to fix the economy, you do that by flooding the system with new cash to get people out there spending, right? And taking vacations and going on cruise ships and plane flights and eating in restaurants and shopping in big box stores. Well, if we do that, then that would pull us out of the recession, but it would turbocharge the pandemic. So it's really not clear how we fix both of these problems or either of these problems going forward, because they're so mutually contradictory. But what we're going to try to do clearly is split the difference, where we do the quarantine thing and try to deal with the virus that way, but liquefy the system really aggressively. And try to get people spending again, but not leaving their houses. So, you know, it's a kind of a strange world that the Fed is trying for here, because if we were to go back to actual growth, you know, that's a lot of spending. But if it's not happening in restaurants and it's not happening in Costco, it would all be online. So it would be Amazon and Costco.com and Walmart.com and Grubhub, you know, where food is delivered to your house. So that would be a strange kind of world. But we're liable to have something like that for a while if the central bank monetary ease is going to have any effect at all. That's where they'll have it. So they can't let anything go bankrupt. That's the overriding reality for central banks, is that any big industry or major company going bankrupt could be a domino that knocks down a lot of other dominoes and just sends the system into a death spiral. So anything that goes wrong, they're going to throw money at. Any company that goes bankrupt or is on the verge of going bankrupt, they will bail out. And they were already talking about the airlines and the cruise lines. And beyond that, it might be all kinds of retail store chains, and it might be the banks. And it just goes on and on. So, and student loans, you know, we've already partially bailed out student loans in the U.S. because we've suspended interest payments. So you don't have to pay money on your student loan anymore. So now it's officially just free money. For if there's any of it left, you can do with it as you please. But that's just the beginning. You know, we're going to have to bail out maybe, who knows, the housing sector at some point. If who's buying houses right now, right? Everybody's refinancing at lower mortgage rates, but it's hard to imagine anybody house hunting right now and buying their dream house in the middle of a global pandemic slash depression. So there's a safe bet that real estate is impacted by all of this too, as a, you know, second or third level effect of this. So I think that once the bailouts really get going, which they will sometime in the next year, then things are potentially going to change a lot, because the amount of newly created currency that it's going to take to do all this might affect the value of the major currencies because of oversupply. So that's when you get into the whole crack up boom scenario and the dollarclouds.com thesis, you know, that that will eventually bail everybody inside out at the expense of our currencies. They will collapse or look like they're going to collapse, and then we'll have to do a monetary reset. So as crazy as this sounds, it's all playing out according to that script, you know, where something comes along and spooks the markets, which in turn spooks the central banks, which flood the system with cash, which in turn spooks the currency markets, and then it's game over. So we're on that path. Where we are on that path, I don't know yet, but we're certainly headed in that direction.
And if we end in that global reset, I know a few people have been commenting on that, but hey, we've heard that for a number of years, even decades now. So,
well, yeah, this has taken vastly longer than it should have, for sure.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But hey, John, no guarantees what's going to happen right now, but we'll try to stay on top of it as much as possible. John, thanks for your time today. Have a good rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey.